Welcome to the weekend edition of the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. Today's podcast features all the best segments from this week's slate of Undisputed. With in-depth interviews and discussions, we have a lot to talk about heading into next week. Skip, Shannon, let's get to it.
Welcome back to Undisputed. LeVar Ball is back with us. So before we hear from LeVar, earlier this morning, you know, Skip mentioned a conversation that you guys had a while back, a couple months ago, in a commercial break.
No, it was the first time he was on. It was March of 2017.
We was in that back room, and we was doing a little Facebook thing.
Oh, okay. Yes. Tell us more.
I got to give it up to you, grudgingly. But you told me then, and it shocked me, you said, my youngest is going to be my best. And your youngest is on track right now, very possibly to be the first overall pick in this draft, which is one big reason we wanted to have you back on today. So expound on that, if you would, please.
Well, like I said, my sons are like phones. I keep making them better and better. And I always had this concept right here where I've said, at the moment right now, Lonzo's the best.
Yeah.
Jello is my strongest, so he has the potential to be the best, because on the next level, they get bigger and faster. He like that naturally. Melo's going to be the best on the fact that he's the youngest.
Right.
More experience learning from his other brothers.
Right.
But when, so that's when you told me that, was he a sophomore, I guess?
Yes. He might have been 14 to 15.
Yeah. But mostly in my family, the youngest one, my youngest brother is 6'7". He's the tallest.
And
my dad's family, the youngest one is 6'7".
And
is Melo is the youngest one, and he's 6'7", almost 6'8".
He is going on
6'8". He's going 6'8". He's going to be the tallest, like I told him.
Right.
Okay, and we could see, I was just watching the YouTube clips in 2017, but you could just see already he had all the sort of dipsy-do. He could shoot it. He could pass. He had Lonzo's eye for passing the basketball.
Well, all my boys can pass the ball like that, because that's how I taught them growing up, playing like that.
I'm not sure you can teach that at the high Lonzo level.
Yes, you got to teach that, but you know you got to start them when they like six and 7 years old.
Okay.
And that's, my boy's been passing like that a long time.
So, everybody want to score though.
Yeah, but
we score the most if you pass the most.
So your youngest has had to take a bizarre path to the NBA.
He took the best path.
Well, is it?
Yes.
Why?
Because, okay, he got the focus completely on basketball.
Right.
Now, back in the day, well, I ain't going to say back in the day, most of the guys that play in Europe, they start playing professional at 14, 15 years old.
Right.
So now, if I take my son, who's an American, and take him over there to Lithuania to let him get involved in this early. So now, Melo's not doing a term paper and a chemistry test and all that. He's focusing, concentrating only on basketball.
So was Lithuania good for him, for his development?
It was great for him. If you're just waking up out of a hotel and you get to practice twice a day, as opposed to studying for a Spanish test, you never even gonna take Spanish. You know? So now you're playing against grown men, and Melo got a taste of what all superstars have to get a taste of, and this is what I mean. When you're in high school, you're the all-star.
Right.
But then when you go to college and you're not that guy, and you feel that you're that good, you have to take a back seat.
Right.
Now, let's say the other kid, RJ Hampton, went over there to Australia.
Right. Yep.
Awesome high school player.
Right.
But when you got over there to Australia, you're like, God dang, why I'm not playing?
Mm.
I'm coming off the bench, doing a little bit of stuff here and there, and you're thinking that's it. Melo already did that in Lithuania.
Right.
He was the best point guard, but the coach is like, you're not even gonna get in the game.
Right. Mm.
So Melo went through that little thing when he was 15, 16 years old.
And that rubbed you the wrong way as dad.
That's gonna rub you the wrong way. Well, everybody's father's like, man, when you see your kid being a superstar and all of a sudden you sit on the bench.
Right.
Your mindset is like, he way better than this. You need to play him. And you're just going to get in a little funk, but we already went through that.
Mm-hmm.
So that allowed Melo to go to Australia and be this superstar.
That's interesting.
Okay, and then what happened? How did you connect? Is it New Zealand, Australia?
Well, here's the thing. He went to Australia on the fact that he had already been playing against grown people. Now, what people like to say, the narrative, LeVar created the JBAs for his son, it's no good. Okay, the JBA, the first time we went through there, every kid had graduated already.
Right.
So Melo's playing against people that's 19, 20-something years old at 16. Mm-hmm. And so now I do the JBA USA tour, and guess what? We play all the European teams with grown folks that want to beat me.
Right.
Because we got the marquee that makes you want to win. First of all, we from the U.S., and second of all, I tell you, can't beat the ball boys.
Right.
So that make you want to play super hard. So all my boys are going to be awesome now. So now when you go to the Drew League and play against grown men, or you go to Australia, been there, done that.
Right.
So it's nothing new.
So what are you seeing from LaMelo's growth in Australia?
I see the same thing in Melo. Melo was chasing one guy, and the only person he's chasing is Lonzo.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's it. And he's going to be better on the fact that if you watch Lonzo, Melo wants to be better.
Right.
So he's going, his confidence and everything is going to be like, man, I'm better than him. I'm better than him.
Bigger.
That
helps.
Yeah. But Lonzo's still bigger and stronger because he's older.
Oh, yeah.
So, but he wants that. Hmm.
And describe Melo's game right now for somebody who has
it. Melo's game is very creative. He feels that every shot is going in. He's going to have those little passes like Lonzo here and there, but he wants to make everybody a rebounder. Because he's going to shoot that ball. He feel he can just make so many points and win. That's just his, he's always been like
that. So he's a point or two?
He's always played point out of necessity.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, okay, Lonzo leaves, three
right.
point.
Right.
But he Man, loves to too. Score the ball. He loves to score the ball. He did that one time when he scored the 92 points and everybody was like, what you think of that? I said, that's the best game ever. Because I unleashed him. I said, man, Jello not playing. Score as many points as possible, son. Mm. He loves to score.
Right.
But he will make the passes and do other things. Mm. But I, like I said, and people always said, well, if him and Lonzo played together, they are the best 1-2 punch that can alternate at times. Like if Melo get a rebound, he know Lonzo's running.
Right.
So he going to throw that long pass.
Right.
And the same thing with Lonzo.
Okay.
That's why in high school, you saw Lonzo catch a lot of lobs, but they were mostly from Melo. Because he turns into the point guard real quick.
Sure.
And then Lonzo threw a lot of them where they say, oh, Melo's doing all the cherry picking. Can Melo take off because he know Lonzo won't throw it, shoot a three-pointer. We good.
Right.
How close is Melo to getting the man body that I see Lonzo getting now?
They're not going to get their man body till they like 22, 23. And that's because of their mom. Just he's Caucasian and we black.
Oh, I got it.
Yeah, shoot.
Okay.
See, he probably had his man body when he was 19. I had mine when I was 19. I'm 400 pounds, 500 pounds. They say, man, we were strong back then, you know. But they're going to get there. They're going to get their weight. But they're a little lighter weight, so they're going to be in the 220, 230 range.
They're never going to be in the two.
Well, Jello will.
Okay.
Jello's like 240 right now.
Right.
And everybody's like, oh, he leaned up. No, he's swole.
Yeah.
He just got that big body like right. that. And the other two, which is Melo and Lonzo, they got more of their mom's frame, the long, lanky frame. Mm-hmm. So that's why I said they'll get about 220, 230. They won't get to 250, 260 like Jello.
So what are you hearing? Could he go one?
No, it could. He is going
he's
one.
He's going one.
Come on, he got to go one. I'll take this. Usually you're going to take the guy who's most popular. Now, RJ played pretty good. I think he was a little better player than Zion when it started, but Zion's popularity boosted him to one.
Yep.
How did Jay Morant come from Murray State and be number two? Because you're the best guard in there. Hmm. So Melo happens to be both. Hmm. He's the most popular and the best guard. Hmm. How you don't go number one? If you want your franchise, you got to put people in them seats. Hmm.
Don't you think, you're looking at the top five worst records. You're looking at Warriors, Cavs, Wolves, Hawks, Knicks.
Right.
You think he'd go number one if the Cavs, I mean, not Cavs, the Hawks with Trey? You want to see him with Ice Trey?
Do I want to see him with Ice Trey?
Yeah.
No, I want to see him in the best situation, whatever coach going to let him loose and do his thing. Mm. That's what I want to see. So it don't matter where he go. Now, you can go to a certain place over here where the coach is not going to play you the right way.
Right.
You know, but I need him to be free and need him to win. And the only way he can do that is not having no restrictions on him. Let him do what he does. So whoever gonna give him the best of that?
So he needs the red. He needs the green light, like Trey
he
got.
He needs the green light, man.
Like Trey got, cause Trey skips. Trey Young got the greenest light ever.
Yeah, yeah. And
unfortunately, it turned red last night.
Right, it did.
Right. Yeah. I mean, he's always been like that. And for that, like I said, I look at something like my vision is a little different. And like I said, my other son, Jello.
Right.
That's the one who needs to go wherever Melo goes. Jello need to go. Mm. Now you got something special.
Okay.
So
what's Melo's ceiling? What will project him? Compare him. Who could he be?
Melo could be something new that people ain't seen before.
Because?
Just because he's different all the way around. He's different all the way around. I mean, from the way he plays the game, he's both hands, he good with either one. Yeah. The dribbling. He loves the excitement of making shots, dribbling around people. He likes the winning, the passing. It's just like, he's just a different type. Mm. And he's loud about it too. But he gonna shock the world. They're going to shock the world.
Because Lonzo is not loud about it. So mindset, personality, completely the flip side?
Right. Well, we're not completely the flip side. I think if you get Lonzo with his brothers, then he'll get a little.
Public.
But as far as the public, yeah. Lonzo's more, he's not going to say nothing. He's just going to show you.
Right.
He's just going to do it. And he might get mad every now and then, but you'll never know. And like sometimes when you watch him play now, at least with the Pelicans, he'll do something and it won't be good. He'll smile about it now, or he'll complain to a ref now.
Right.
Before he now he just right. whatever cool go.
Okay.
You know.
So obviously before Lonzo was drafted here by Magic with the Lakers, right. there was some issue. Oh, is LeVar going to be too involved because right. they're locals? Do you think there's going to be any misgivings about should we take LaMelo because we're going to have to take LeVar in, especially if he's
well,
the first
I always said, like I said, the same thing, man. If people are going on a narrative of what I'm doing, you don't need my son anyway. Mm-hmm. That's the way I look at it. Because like I said, I'm never going to go nowhere. I'm always going to be his father. It's just like the narrative that people want to use right now is, like I said, there's no pressure on Lonzo. He's away from his dad. Well, here's the thing. I talk to my son every day. And I'm going to be his father forever. The only thing different about this situation is the coaching. Mm. And whoever believes in Lonzo, and sometimes when I tell them the best way to coach him or the best way to do this, why? From experience of coaching him all his life, I can give you some input on what makes him go, on how he feels about the game.
Okay.
And Gentry is definitely doing that.
Save that thought.
No mercy. Welcome back to Undisputed. LeVar Ball is still with us. So we did talk about LaMelo earlier, but I want to talk a little bit more about Lonzo and just how this transition has been for him with the Pelicans. Take us into how he's doing.
Well, Lonzo's doing great. Like I said, when you have a coach believe in you and let you do what you're supposed to do, and it took a little turmoil in there as him coming off the bench and not, the coach not understand he's not a role player. Mm-hmm. He's a superstar. What Lonzo does is makes everybody better. So that's what you got to let him do. You put Zion somewhere else, he's not going to be as successful as Lonzo. I mean, successful as he is right now. Mm-hmm. He's not going to get there. Lonzo's going to give you the ball where that pass don't look open, get it to him just like that, keep him in rhythm. He'll be a 30-point scorer as long as he hang with it. Just like Brandon Ingram, he's been playing for the Lakers. But you play one season with Lonzo and now you're an all-star? Mm. That's what he does.
Plus he put up big numbers.
Nico Melli wasn't even supposed to play. But Lonzo kicked that ball back to him, hit them threes. Now look at the culture of the team. Them boys is passing the ball. You ain't never had Drew Holiday get no 15 assists. But when you make everybody start playing like you, now it's going to be hard to beat them. Hard.
Lonzo went 19-9-9 against the Lakers the other night.
Man, that's just a little simple stuff.
Hey,
that's a little simple thing, right? That's missing every shot. That's just making layups, sprinting down the court, outrunning everybody. And another thing, which is good too, which he's working out after the game, before the games. Like I told him, I said, man, you still have to work out. You weren't working out. You were just going to practice, do what you do.
Right.
You gotta lift them weights.
So young.
Yeah.
So go back into the issues you had with Luke Walton because you thought it stunted Lonzo's growth because
well definitely
he played him.
Yeah. If you're gonna play him, like don't put him in there 6 minutes and then take him out 6 minutes no matter what. Because 6 minutes when you're sitting on the bench, 6 minutes on the bench is more in real time is like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So now you got him going 100 miles an hour,
it's hard.
And then you're sitting down doing all this stuff, and then you're not believing in him. You got Rondo bringing the ball up, LeBron bringing the ball up, Kuzma bringing the ball, Ingram bringing the ball. You got too many people bringing the ball up.
Right.
So nobody's running the lane. And then when you stuck him in that corner, I was like, how do you have a kid who makes everybody better and you put him in a corner? One thing you can do when you're in the corner, you can do a shoot. Mm-hmm. You're not going to pass it.
Right.
Because you got to pass to the other side of it. No, you got to be at the top where you can swing the ball and keep things going. You know, so, and he never had confidence in him in that fourth quarter.
Was there ever any personal issue between Luke and Lonzo? Did they clash or?
No, because Luke's philosophy was more like the normal philosophy. When you come in as a rookie, you get under somebody's wing.
Right.
Sure.
But Lonzo ain't never been under nobody's wing because he's always been a leader.
Right.
He's been a leader from day one. So you come in there and let him lead. Mm. They felt it should have been a little different where the veterans need to do this first and this and that. And you can't play the whole game. Lonzo is the only guy who can play the whole game without getting tired. Why? Because he know when to push the ball and he know when to throw them long passes. He's not going to get tired. So he used all his energy on defense. Nothing on offense. He'll never get tired on offense. And I've always primed all my boys to play the whole game. And folks are like, their condition is amazing. But like I said, when you rest after the game is over, go rest for as many hours as you want.
Playing with Zion, what's he talk to you? What's it like playing with Zion and the tension, the hoopla that goes around?
Well, it's great playing with Zion. Here's the thing which is great about Lonzo. I love the fact that you talk about Zion, you talk about Jrue Holiday, you talk about Brandon Ingram. You ain't got to talk about Zoe. And Zoe promotes all those guys.
He does.
Like, that dude's this, and right. he that. And that's what's good about him. So it's never going to waver him. Where in some situations, if you, let's say me and you, and everybody been talking about me.
Right.
And all of a sudden you come back and they talk about you. So now I'm a press.
Right.
I'm like, man, how can I get my stats back up so they can start talking about me?
Right.
That's how normal people think.
Mm-hmm.
But Lonzo is like, man, you give me some guys. I got enough people who can put the ball in the hole.
Right.
I just got to keep them happy.
Right.
And so that's what makes it so easy for him, because Brandon can put the ball in the hole, Jrue can put it in the hole, and Zion, that boy just runs and jumps. You're going to get 30 points.
Yep.
Easy.
And Zoe knows how to find him. The lob, I mean, he's throwing the five lobs.
If you can out-jump everybody, just throw it to the kick.
Exactly.
I don't know where that kick is at. He's like, it's going to sail right over that dude's hand.
Yeah.
Right before talk. And here's the thing with Zion, he don't have to face all that pressure. And Zoe's like, I'll take all that, the losing or whatever, man, but I'll get you right. I'll give you the ball. Just get where you're supposed to be.
Right.
And I'll get it to you.
So what's Zion's ceiling? How do you project
Zion
it?
Zion has a great ceiling. Everybody's always worried about, you know, he's so heavy and he's been heavy and jumping like that a long time. And then everybody after about 12 or 15 years ago about him, I was waiting for him to break down. And then finally when he do that, I told you so, but he's going to go 15 good years. Mm-hmm. He got a big body. He built like that. He's one of them big country boys.
Because my partner across the table is still dubious about how
that's
long
the only thing that concerns
last.
Me.
Yeah.
He has unbelievable, but to jump, he's never played 82. And to do that, you know, I mean, to do it over and over and to jump, that's a lot of weight jumping, and he jumps quick.
Yes.
I've never seen anybody like that.
But he might condition his body for that. He might be conditioned for that. Ain't nobody ever seen nobody do that many years like that. So you have to be negative about it on the fact that you haven't seen it been done. Right. You haven't seen it done.
But we've seen him miss. He gets a little nicked in summer league. He misses, and he misses, the first six, 8 weeks of the season?
You're gonna miss that on the fact that welcome to the big time.
Right.
You ain't working out no more. You're too busy doing interviews and this and that. You're not going to work out. You're not going to eat right. You're not going to do a lot of things right because you're just caught up. 19 years old, you got to be caught up in the startup.
Right.
Like, oh, hey. You don't know what to do. You're young. But once you learn how to take care of your body and do what you're supposed to do,
right.
you're good like that. Yeah. You'll be good.
Mm. Could Zion lead this league in scoring regularly?
Zion could lead this league in scoring regularly until my other son get there. When Jello get here, you can forget it.
Yeah. It's over.
It's over.
Yeah.
Jello's always been the best scorer everywhere he go. And I'm telling folks this, when he get in the NBA, within 3 years, I guarantee he's a scoring champ. Guaranteed.
Melo or Jello?
Jello. Not Melo. I'm talking about Jello.
Your middle son?
The middle son.
Is going to lead the league.
Lead the league in scoring.
LeVar, I got to call you on that.
Call me on it, baby. I'll be back up here when he does.
No.
I'll be back up here when he does.
So, by the way, we talked about this in the break. Jello is now playing for the
OKC Blue, which is the G League.
Which is the G League, and he's on the practice squad right now because they can't play him because he could be snatched by anybody
who
would want to sign him.
Right.
But you're hoping that he lands wherever Melo lands, Summer League, so he can get
Summer League, he's gonna get their first start. He's gonna get that look. He's gonna get that look. And then everybody's that's all. He just wanna play. And that's the thing with people. Everything they say that Melo and Zoe can't do, this one can do. He's stronger, faster, jump higher.
What do you got?
He's 6'7 now.
6'7.
They act like 235.
235.
They thought he was going to stop growing. I said, Jello would have been a junior right now. He'd been coming out as a junior. So he's going to do his thing. But here's the thing. You play with his brother, he's going to run out every time. And the thing is, he can catch the heck out of the ball. He know how to position his body like a tight end, hold you off, and catch it, and score the ball. And he got jump hooks in the lane, and he can shoot the three-pointer at a high clip.
He better shoot it than Melo and Zoe?
Way better.
Way better?
With his eyes closed.
Like three-point shooter?
Three-point shooter. Hmm. That boy, distance is better. See, here's the thing. Lonzo shoots kind of a set shot. Mm-hmm. Melo, the same thing. Jello shoots a jumper.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Guys who shoot jumpers shoot a little bit better. So Jello has all the strength, but he can judge his because he jumps so high and he's right here all the time. Right. So all he got to do is this, as opposed to when you're shooting a set shot, as you get stronger, you got to ease up a little bit. Right. It's kind of hard to judge.
So last time you were on, you still had this dream that you could get all three Suns together for a while. It was you targeted Phoenix, remember?
Right, right.
Right?
So here's the thing on that. They're eventually going to all be on the same team. And hopefully sooner than later.
Because you're going to speak it into existence, right?
Oh, it's already a done deal. Mm.
Because?
I spoke to other ones into existence. Now I just got to make it happen. Now I just got to make it happen.
Why are you so seemingly hell-bent on all three of them playing together?
All three of them playing together because the chemistry is just unreal. It's unreal. Last time, like I said, in high school, as babies, they ran through the high school circuit and scoring 100 points a game. So now as grown men, I want to see it. They probably average 40 to 50 a quarter if they play because it's going to be very, very fast. You think Lonzo throwing three or four long passes now, he'd throw 10, 15 a game with Jello, maybe 20 with Melo because he knows both of them are going to take off full speed in each corner every time. So now you got him just slinging the ball, take it out of bounds, gone. Who's ever open? He'll look this way, throw it over here. Now this one is going to shoot a three-pointer. Melo got a rebound. Mm. Now when you got both 6'7", 6'8", you should out-rebound all the guards when this guy shoots the ball, right, as opposed to this guy just watching like I didn't get the ball. So it's a tandem. It goes back and forth. But now when you throw it to Melo, you're throwing it to a guy who can shoot, but you also have a guy who can make a good decision with the ball, like a point guard.
So how are you going to orchestrate getting Lonzo and Melo together? Because that's the tough one, because they're gonna be locked into different situations.
Well, the situations they are, it's just, actually, it's kind of the same situation. And what I mean by that is we're either going to have to wait 4 years when Melo's rookie contract is over and Lonzo's contract, second one, is over. And then guess what? They'll make so much money off the court that they won't care how much they get, and they'll make a decision like we're all going to the same place.
And they want to play together.
They all want to play together. That's the best thing ever. It's like
you want that.
Or do they want
No. If you raise my boys like that, I raise them to be together so much. Yeah. It's like this. It won't even be like work. It's like going on a road trip the whole time mm-hmm. with your brothers. So it's not like, and the other thing is the losing. So when they lose together, they're going to band to figure this combination on how to win. Mm. And it's better to keep winning these championships where you don't worry about the money. Right now, it's hard to win a lot of championships. Why? Because whichever team wins, now you start picking them apart by, we give you more money. We give you more money. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Look at Kawhi. Oh, do I stay with this team? I already did that. Gone. Mm. More money going to Clippers.
It's a good thing you brought up Kawhi.
Yeah.
But last thing on Lonzo. Has it helped, or how much has it helped Lonzo to be out of Los Angeles where he grew up? Just out from under all this Laker pressure and...
Here's the thing. Lonzo can go anywhere. It's just having a coach believe in it.
Okay.
So whether you play in Oklahoma, L.A., there's no pressure in playing basketball, especially if this is something that you love and you happen to get paid for it. There's no pressure in it. Mm-hmm. Either you want to be the best or you don't. Or you just want to slide on by, then eventually you'll slide right on out.
Yeah.
But if you want to be the best in the world, you don't worry about the money.
Has it helped not to have you at the game every
night? No. If I was at the game every night, he'd average a triple-double.
Man, go ahead. I'll start with that.
If I was at the game every night, he'd average a triple-double.
He can't hear you. It's all the fans screaming. They can't hear a word you ain't say.
What? You must have seen me when I was at the New York Knicks game sitting on the floor. Had him right. I was on voice command.
I remember that.
I was on voice command. I'm going to tell you.
Okay, so why didn't he fly in for every game then? Why don't you go to every Lonzo game and he'll average a
triple-double? You can't fly in every game. That's being selfish, bro. I got two other sons and a business. I got stuff that we got to grow.
And plus you got mom at home.
That's another thing.
Right.
Mm. Boy, she a killer. I'm bringing it to y'all next time. Good Lord.
I'll hang out with her.
Hey, I bet you would. Hey, okay. You saying that. When I bring her up here, you be hanging with her.
No mercy. Some execs are now saying that Kawhi Leonard forcing his way out of San Antonio in 2018 after a disagreement over how to handle his quad injury changed the NBA landscape. According to Tom Haberstroh, teams have since shifted their power structure to appear more player-centric. One GM said, quote, Kawhi scared the living hell out of everyone. If it can happen to the Spurs, it can happen to anybody. So, Skip, how do you interpret this?
I am so fascinated by that quote. There's much truth to that quote, but the point of it is, it wasn't scaring the hell out of anybody while it was happening his last year in San Antonio, because nobody really got what was going on. It only scared the hell out of the whole league after the league stepped back and it hit everybody what that man, Kawhi Leonard, with some help from his uncle Dennis, had pulled off. Wait a second. He did that to them, to the San Antonio Spurs? Takeaway. Kawhi Leonard has controlled this league in ways even your man LeBron James has not, and I believe cannot, control this league. I believe, and by the way, Kawhi Leonard isn't even on social media. He doesn't even have a single account, and he has controlled this league, and I think he still is.
No, he's not, but okay.
Kawhi Leonard is the Kaiser Sose of the NBA, and if you know the movie The Usual Suspects, do you know it?
I do.
I don't know if you both know
it, but I've seen it several times.
He is Kaiser Leonard. That's who he is. Because he is a mastermind assassin that you do not see coming until it's too late. That's who the Sose character was in The Usual Suspects. Okay. He never announces his intentions because he's not even on social media and he barely does interviews. And he never gloats about his successes, so he doesn't rub it in and make everybody open their eyes to his master plan. In interviews, he works as hard as he can work at saying nothing. Even courtside after the game in Oklahoma City the other night, I can't remember a single thing he said because he just hides behind every cliche imaginable. To the point that you finally sit back after watching an interview and you say, that guy's a diabolical genius? That guy is out LeBroning LeBron? Yep, it's that guy. But you don't realize it until it's too late. So in the end, as I look back at San Antonio, what have I always told you? For three straight years, he became my favorite player. And then he began to anger me and finally alienated me because I'm like, what is he doing? He quit on the Spurs. He failed to play 73 games two seasons ago, his final season in San Antonio, because he was Kaiser Sose and he had a master plan. He and his uncle were willing to force a trade, and they knew what was going to happen. It wasn't going to be to the West because you don't want to have to deal with him in the West,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
They knew it was going to be to the Eastern Conference, so they knew wherever they went, as long as it was a reasonable team, that they would have a chance to pull something off in the East.
Right.
And they needed some luck. They needed some Golden State injuries. They needed the luckiest bounce I've ever seen on a game-winning shot. But they pulled it off.
They did.
So he goes and wins a championship in, of all places, Toronto, which may never win a championship again. Yeah. And he's the finals MVP. And that gets him to complete and utter unrestricted free agency because the master plan is to go home. And then what does he do? He bamboozles, of all people, LeBron James. He sets him up, he pulls the wool over his eyes, and then he jerks the rug out from underneath him because LeBron's telling all of his media cohorts that we got him. Everybody widely, rampantly reported, he's going to the Lakers, right? And on the night of July 5th, we had one earthquake, a real one here, and then we had a second figurative earthquake. Kawhi Leonard is going to the Clippers? And then what did he do? Kaiser Sose, Kaiser Leonard, he he quietly builds a better team than LeBron has, in my estimation, at least a deeper team. You can argue the two at the top, but it's he and Paul George and then a really deep team of dogs, man. They got some ballers.
The thing was, Skip, you have to understand, is that Kawhi went to a great situation. He went to a team in Toronto that was the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. So it wasn't like he went to a bottom feeder.
No, but I mean, he made it the number one seed.
No. They were number one the year before.
Oh, you
LeBron,
mean, okay, yeah, I got you.
LeBron them beat them. They won 59 games the year before. He comes to the Clippers. The Clippers took two games off Golden State.
But remember, they gave up their best player for him, DeMar DeRozan. I'm not saying I'm not a big fan, but they did. You know.
Yeah, but and the Clippers, Skip, for me, it was over for San Antonio the moment they questioned him. It'd have been very interesting to see how this plays out if they don't question him. And you remember, Skip, we talked about that. I said, Skip, it's never going to be the same. He's done. I said, I don't know Kawhi Leonard for him, a stack of papers. But let me tell you something about him by observing him. He has what we call an implosive personality. He'll just let everything go, Jenny. Okay, All right, yeah, sure.
But then it...
And then when it explodes, Skip, there's nothing. They could have brought R.C. Buford. They could have brought Greg Popovich. They could have brought Tim Duncan. He had made his mind up. You question him. You don't believe when I tell you I'm hurting. He was done.
I get that.
It was, but Skip, this is something that is not new to basketball. It's always been like this in basketball, unlike any other sport, where the superstar controls the narrative. Magic Johnson got his head coach after winning a title. Paul Westhead got him up out of there. Now, what coach, as great as Tom Brady is, he can't get Belichick fired. As great as these quarterbacks are, they ain't get nobody fired. So this narrative about, no, he didn't. LeBron James, see, here's the thing. Skip, think about this here. LeBron James fulfilled his obligation in Cleveland. Now, last I checked, the only person that I know outside of these corporations that own the TV TV company is Oprah. I ain't never seen no LeBron network. Now, people got mad at LeBron that a network put him on when he made his announcement. He fulfilled his obligation. He didn't demand a trade like Melo. He didn't demand a trade like some of these other players. He fulfilled his obligation. So LeBron is giving these guys the dynamic that says, you know what? You don't have to die in a situation where they're not trying to win. Go out. Says, you know what? I want out.
Okay, but LeBron did it conventionally, out front, up front, in the open, every time. It was just conventional.
Skip, he wanted to fulfill his obligation because he didn't want to. Because, look, we find fault with everything LeBron does. No, not we, you. And a lot of other people find fault with everything that he does. Can you imagine if LeBron James at any point in time had a demand of a trade in Cleveland the first time, or Miami, or Cleveland? Can you imagine, Jeannie, LeBron James demanding a trade? It would stop.
I can't really.
It would stop.
Well, he did last year. He did demand a trade.
No, he didn't.
To go get AD, he demanded it. You know it, and I know it.
Whoa. That's not.
And it was kind of heavy-handed. It was kind of ham-fisted.
Did he demand?
I'm just gonna I'm gonna bully the Pelicans into trading him.
Did he demand that they go get Paul George? A simple no or a simple yes is all I need.
You didn't know about it.
No.
You didn't see it coming.
But I think he knew.
So in other words, as long as we don't know about it, it's okay.
LeBron was trying to trade his whole roster for half the year. He was.
Skip.
LeBron's going to trade you.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Not fun.
But the fact of the matter is, Skip, he was doing the same thing. Okay, we didn't know about it. We know about it now. So how do you feel about it?
I told you how I felt. I was furious. I gave up on Kawhi Leonard because he quit with a quote-unquote thigh bruise. So he quit his way out of town, remember, with a whole year left on his deal.
Skip, let me ask you a question.
This wasn't free agency. He didn't play out his deal.
Right.
He forced his way out of the deal.
Let me ask you a question. If the Spurs had believed that his injury was as serious as he believed that it was, and Tony Parker, trying to be cute, doesn't say, my injury was 100 times worse, call a meeting, put Kawhi on the hot seat, do you believe Kawhi would have still asked to be traded?
I do. I think it was a big master plan from the start.
I think
this guy is holding the league like, you know, the first commercial we saw for New Balance where the crown is swinging from his keychain. The whole NBA is now swinging from his keychain. That's how he's doing
it. I don't believe it. I believe
master plan.
Once they backed him into the corner, as a matter of fact, yesterday, Skip, I was at this event I was telling you about, and the guy walks up to me. He's formerly from Colorado. I heard you making fun of my commercials. I'm the producer. I did all those commercials that you see with Kawhi. I mean, yeah, they're still trash. I don't care what you say. He said, I'm a big fan of yours. I said, yeah, good.
Did he say there's more coming? More
I hope not.
Because it's two for two.
More.
And they're aimed directly at your man, LeBron. He is openly challenging LeBron James.
Hold on. Time out. Wait for a second. This might be the first time in history that someone does a commercial and they aim the commercial at another person. Do you think Apple have commercials aimed at Google, or they're trying to get people?
Wait a second, Shannon.
Yes.
It's not just at another person. It's at the face of the league.
I thought you tried to sell a product. Hold on. You say he's the what? I thought you said Kawhi was the face of the league.
I never said that.
He never was. He never will be.
I've always said LeBron was the face
of the league. Always. And he's the best player in the league.
Nope.
So let that sink in for a second, Jenny. I'm going to do a commercial. I'm going to spend millions of dollars to get the person, the endorsee, and then I'm going to spend millions of dollars to get it on air. But I'm going to take a shot at somebody, not try to sell the product.
You can do both. You can do sneak that in there. No?
The end of the day, when you selling product, the bottom line is to do what? Make money or take shots at people. What is it, Jenny?
Make some money.
Exactly.
What's this latest commercial? What's the indication?
No, I don't care. I don't know.
You should care. Because it's basically saying that he moves and the rest of the league follows. That means I control the league.
Who was out here first in the West? Did LeBron go that way and then come over here, or did LeBron come to the West first?
Yep, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's why the one he dropped on opening night during the Lakers-Clippers opening night conflict, it said he's exiting at Kawhi Town. In Kawhi Town, which is Los Angeles. So he's basically saying, this is my time in my town now.
Actually, it's not. Right? And all I know is that we're talking to the guys yesterday. Mm-hmm. They said the king.
What are they going to say?
No. We on camera. No. I can understand if we're on camera. They say he's the man. They say, Unk, he locked in.
They say Unk. You know what? Back to the original quote.
Yeah.
You know who Kawhi Leonard or Kaize Leonard should scare the hell out of? LeBron James. He is coming for LeBron in every way, shape, and form, and it's quiet.
Rich.
He's the quiet assassin.
I'm seeing Rich. Yeah.
Quiet assassin. I'm warning you. I'm actually trying to give you a heads up. You don't see it until it's too late, and I'm trying to give you pre-warning.
We don't want nothing.
You better have your eyes open.
I don't know if you've noticed this, but since the All-Star break, have you noticed anything about the GOAT?
I've only noticed two Clippers-Lakers games in which Kawhi Leonard has taken over both fourth quarters and LeBron has disappeared
twice. Hey, what did
that
get him?
Twice he's disappeared. Disappeared in two fourth quarters.
Are they hanging banners? Do you tell them? Now, hold on. I'm just trying to wait. So when LeBron had this big moment, you're like on a Sunday in February or a Saturday in January.
Yep.
So they're hanging banners for two regular season wins?
Are they hanging banners for back-to-back player of the month in Western Conference?
I know you don't say it again.
In what was it, January and February?
January and
February. Hang that banger. Go ahead. Do it.
Hadn't been done in a while.
Last is the Laker says Kobe.
Wow.
We got so many player of the week. They going to name that. That's going to be the LeBron James Award.
Who will
the
be
NBA
the
player, LeBron James
Don't
Award.
Get ahead of yourself.
Who will be the player of the month of June? That's all I care about.
I know that's what you care about. And Sunday we care a lot about, because we finally get to see it again.
I just want to know what's going to be excuse then.
What do you mean?
Lakers win the title. It's because he had Anthony Davis. He brought everybody together. This guy, yada, yada, yada. It's going to be something. Because you won't go peacefully. You one of those guys won't go peacefully.
Here comes the mastermind assassin.
I gotta check out this movie again now. Yeah. I'm like, I gotta see it again. It's been a while. No mercy. For the second straight month, LeBron was named the Western Conference Player of the Month. He is the first Laker to win the award in consecutive months since Kobe did it in the 2008-2009 season. So really, it's been a bit. So Chris, will this strengthen LeBron's MVP case, in your opinion?
Something's going on. All right. This will undoubtedly strengthen his case. Now, I've been outspoken. I think Giannis is the front runner.
Okay.
And look, if LeBron wins it, I'm not going to protest. I'm not going to cry foul, because look, 17 years in the league, he certainly, we can argue, deserves more than four MVPs.
Right.
And he's having a tremendous year.
So you're talking about as a career achievement award?
Yeah. And they've done that before, you know. But you may be right, Skip, that because it seems like over the last week or so, this MVP conversation has gotten louder and louder. And I've talked a lot about Giannis. I'm surprised at how much pushback I'm getting from people, not just media, but just regular fans, that how many people think LeBron is the MVP? Mm-hmm. And I do feel like this is an example. This is evidence that there is, I think the league wants LeBron to win it.
I do too.
There's great story, obviously, his 17th year, the Kobe tragedy. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many great storylines around it. And I say that because here's why. LeBron was great this month. No question about it. Was he better than Russell Westbrook? Russell Westbrook averaged 33.7 rebounds, 6 assists, 55% shooting, and his team went 7-1 with him and beat better teams than the Lakers did. Lakers went 8-2. LeBron played great, but I think Westbrook had a better month. So now you can, by giving LeBron two straight, first guy since Kobe on the Lakers, I think that does build his case more. And then let's go to the East, the guy that's really his chief competition, Giannis. Giannis won the first 3 months, was the MVP or the player of the month in the East. Giannis this month had a great 28.17 rebounds a game, still gets his 6 assists, 55% shooting. They go 9-0. Now, I know Jason Tatum was great, but he wasn't that great. His team went 9-3. You know, I could make the, like, Russell Westbrook, if Tatum could get it, why couldn't Westbrook? So I think that there is something going on where it's like, if Giannis wins player of the month every month, how's he not going to be the MVP? If LeBron was better in November, numbers-wise, and they went 14-1, the Lakers, and he didn't get player of the month. So I just think that there is beginning to be this groundswell. Now, the media, you know, it's 120-something voters, and I don't know where each guy will be, but it does seem like this story, even when LeBron was asked about it last week on national TV after a game about the MVP award, it just seems like there's a groundswell for it.
Do you know for sure who votes on the months, the players?
I don't know that.
Because I think it's just generated by the league.
I agree. I think it's just the league. And that's...
Because that's the signal that says we want this to happen, right?
Because, again, LeBron was great, but Russ?
Skip, I'm going to let you go, but I'm going to say this. The league frowns upon load management, and Russ missed 3 games. And it seems like he missed those games.
And LeBron only missed, what, one?
One.
Yeah. Okay.
So, go ahead, Skip.
That's fair. You know, that's fair.
That is true. And quietly, Russ is load managing about like Kawhi does. But you rip Kawhi, but you don't rip Russ. Now you've realized Russ is doing it in the shadows, right?
Yeah. Almost. Yep. Yeah, not quite, but almost. Yeah.
Is it?
Yep.
So when I looked hard at what Russ did last month versus LeBron, it was very close to me because Russ did not have a single triple-double. He's abandoned that strategy. So the assists and rebounds have fallen pretty dramatically in favor of just basket attacks that allowed him to average 33 points. And he's quit shooting threes because he took a grand total of 20 in 8 games.
Mm-hmm.
We, as you pointed out earlier, you take 20 in a game sometimes. I mean, that's just what he used to be. He used to just be firing from everywhere like crazy. So to me, it's real close. And LeBron had 2 triple-doubles, so if we just go 2-0 on triple-doubles, I'm okay with LeBron. And I've told him from my heart, LeBron is shockingly great this year. I did not see any of this coming. So it is a great story. He was, and he set it up with Washed King, hashtag Washed King. I thought it was
Washed. You set it up. You started it. You started it last year.
Okay, so... Well, do you want me to show that?
No.
Blooper reel? My God.
You see what I'm saying, Chris?
But it was the all-time blooper reel. It was an embarrassment what happened to him. And every once in a while, he's got a glitch going on this year where he dribbles the ball inbounds. I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
you can't do that.
Oh, the one in Utah.
Not on his mind.
What about the one in Utah? He had the ball paused and just started walking and then dribbled to get it.
Wait, shoot, can't do that.
Okay.
Just a little moment.
So the point is that I'm good with this. I do think he's on his way to winning MVP. But I feel sorry for Giannis because if we just go on pure numbers, Giannis is having an historical run this year. Because you're first in PER, but but you're on pace to set the all-time record for PER. Right. That's the stat we all hang our hats on, right? Player efficiency rating. And right now, Giannis is still ranked number one of all players in defensive efficiency rating. So he's most efficient on offense, best on defense. Wouldn't you
and
just
they
say
may
that's
win
just,
70.
And they may win 70. And they're
but
like,
they won 60 last year. My guy couldn't even get the playoff. Okay. You remember my guy couldn't even get the
playoff. Your guy added AD, too.
But I still say, and you voted for Giannis last year, right?
Yes,
okay, he left you with some egg on your face because he gets to the pinnacle, the Eastern Conference Finals, and he disappears for four straight games. And they lose four in a row after winning the first two. And it kind of shamed the voters into saying, well, I don't want him to, I can't vote for him back-to-back. Because will he show me up in the playoffs
again? That's a rarity. You don't know. Guys that win back-to-back, they're supposed to be legendary.
Yes. But there's been a lot, though. LeBron, Steve Nash,
But LeBron
Shaq
is legendary.
Shaq should have won that second one.
Shaq should have won it. Bird. You start getting Jordan. These guys. You get guys
but
that win back.
You don't think Giannis could end up. I mean, he's got to win, obviously. Yeah. But he could end up being in that class.
He could be. He's off to a great start.
Okay, so I'm blessing LeBron. I just think it's storybook storyline. It's the best narrative. He's going to win the MVP, and then we'll see what happens.
You think it's done? I don't think it's done.
But don't you feel the groundswell?
Yes, I do. But I don't know. I just
Chris, I told you. I said, Chris, I know you're not a gambling man, but go to Vegas and lay some money on this, now. You know,
didn't you say it was gonna be AD?
I said that. I thought they would split the votes. But if you look at how well LeBron plays without AD, and you look at their record without AD, and the people are like, whoa.
Here's the thing. Look, LeBron's clearly their best player. But AD leads them in points, rebounds, steals, and blocks, and PER by like a good margin in PER.
LeBron is 10th in PER, so it's not like he's threatening Giannis at the top.
Right.
But AD has always been a PR king.
Yeah, he has.
Because he can do so many things.
No question.
But old GOAT James, 14, had 14 assists with 3 turnovers last night, Skip. Mm. Is that good? It's almost a 5-to-1 ratio, turnover ratio.
Honestly, as great as he's always been at distributing, I think he's just getting better and better as a point guard.
Nope.
And I do like that they're late games, having him in the post. Mm-hmm. I want to see that Sunday, though.
Oh, you got that Sunday?
But you realize what the not-so-silver lining to all this is.
What?
Pretty soon the playoffs are going to start, and the pressure is going to go up for the new MVP, the washed king.
Skip, do you know how many times we go?
Regains the throne, and then everybody's going to say, okay, do it.
Do you know how many times?
And it's announced, right, around the conference finals, right?
You do realize how many times we've gone through this?
Mm. True.
The adage is that pressure is what you feel when you don't know what the hell you're doing. Mm. My man has been doing that for 17.
Really?
He good at it.
Well, he's lost 6 finals.
But there you go. But he about to win this one, be 4-6. Yeah. And when it's all said and done, he's going to be top 5 in assists, number 1 in scoring, going to have all these. How can he not be the GOAT?
I'm wondering, how can he get by the team in the basement right now at Staples? How can he?
Team in the basement.
That team is serious business.
We serious. You know what? We're going to show you.
You're top heavy as you know
what.
Yeah,
we don't want to. Right? But, hey. That's why we got 3 cases. We got 3 cases on this.
We got as many cases as you want on this.
Not
Friday. Sunday. I'm talking about when the money's on the table.
So what happens if somebody knock y'all out before we even get a chance to bust y'all up?
Well, who's that somebody going to be?
Probably Houston, somebody.
Probably.
Because seemingly, y'all only can get up for the Lakers. That's what I noticed. Get up for the Lakers. Yeah. But what happens when you don't play the Lakers?
Yeah. What happens when the Lakers can't get up for us?
Are we going to do? Okay, Sunday will provide a glimpse, a small snippet, a summation.
I can't wait for the fourth quarter on Sunday because the first time they played in the fourth quarter, AD went 0. He got zonked in the fourth quarter.
He won't be 0 this time.
LeBron had 2.
I think LeBron going to only play like 30 minutes because he'll be out. We're going to be blowing him out.
And remember, in game 2, which was on Christmas Day, the Lakers in a home game led by 7 with 6:39 left in the game, and LeBron and AD just disappeared and Kawhi scored 9 points.
We different now. Hello.
Really?
Man, I followed Kyle Kuzma last night, and I was looking for a tweet. Did he post anything? Because you remember Sunday, he posted. You know, everybody, they were mad at him because they couldn't be him.
Right.
You know, he had 20. So
they hate me because they ain't.
Yeah. So I followed him. I was like, oh, I know he going to tweet last night. He going to tweet about them 7 points he got, right? I unfollowed him because he ain't had nothing on
him. I don't think Kuzma's the enemy. You think Kuzma's the enemy?
I just don't know if he's universally loved by the group.
He come in there and just gunning. Can he do something other than score? Because sometimes when it's not scoring, what makes these great players, they can do other things. He can only do one thing, which is score. He ain't trying to, Skip, he's not even trying to play defense.
You've got the king and the P.E.R. king. King and P.E.R. king. That's it.
No, you need another one.
Good.
You said we need a third option.
I said you did, but you don't have one.
You don't have one.
Oh, no, just going to rotate. Sometimes it's going to be Danny Green.
Okay.
Avery Bradley's actually showing some stuff.
Yeah.
KCP.
What about to the closer?
Yeah.
Kyle Kuzma is the closer. That's what he told me all year. Kyle Kuzma is the closer. He's been closing on the bench.
Yep. My team's got closers.
Oh,
looking for this
I got Sweet Lou.
I cannot wait.
Now he's
the basement is coming up. They're actually hosting.
They better stay healthy. Wait. That's the Clippers thing.
I'll knock on wood for you, Chris. Thank you very much for joining us.
No mercy.
Ja Morant and Zion Williamson each put on impressive shows over the weekend against the Lakers. On Saturday, Ja not only led the Grizzlies to a 17-point win, but he also dropped 27 points to go along with 14 assists. Then yesterday, Zion got his turn against the Lakers and had a game-high 35 points, but came up short in the win column. So, Shannon, after what you saw over the weekend, who is winning Rookie of the Year, Ja or Zion?
Ja. You know it. 27, 14, and 6 against the Lakers. In a win. They're in the 8th spot. How am I going to give this award to a man that's not going to even play 50% of the games? Patrick Ewing has the record. He was a rookie of the year playing 50 games. Zion is on pace. If he plays every single game, from here out, we'll get 37. And we're going to give the guy a significant award for 37 games? And if Ja has missed, I think, 5 games. And if he plays the rest of them, he will have had double the amount of games that Zion has played. Skip, they ain't got no – Memphis got no business in the 8th spot. Mm. He got them there. 17-7 on the season. If there was no rookie that was outstanding, take Ja out of the equation. Then you might have a legitimate argument because there's really no one else. There's some guys that's having some – I think none – Pascal. I mean, there's some guy that's doing okay, Skip. But Ja got this. Now, maybe we'd have a different debate if Zion had started the season playing. Maybe we have a different debate. Who knows? Maybe New Orleans is in the 8th spot. Who knows 7th? But right now, but stop playing. Mm. Go on and take that trophy out there, FedEx. Mm. That's what FedEx Hub is. Deliver that man his trophy. Mm. Ja.
Mm. So, I've told you from the start, I love Ja, but I love Zion a whole lot more. And he just keeps going higher and higher in my estimation because he is doing things we have never, ever seen before. He is going to be so much better and more valuable than Ja is. And to me, he's already on pace to win this year's Rookie of the
Year. Not happening.
Because this has never happened before. He's played 15 games and already has broken Carmelo's rookie streak of 9 games of 20-plus points. He's done 11 straight games with 20-plus.
Who's rookie of the year Carmelo's year?
I don't know. I don't really care. I don't really care.
Oh, go!
Okay. So that has absolutely nothing to do with what we're talking about
You
right
got to play, Skip.
So right now, Zion Williamson is averaging 24 points in 29 minutes, which is by far the highest this season. But guess what? It's the highest since 1951. Hmm. Think about that. 24 points in 29 minutes he is averaging. So he's playing low minutes, high points, and they just keep climbing up because now he's got 3 30-plus games,
right,
including the one last night. So nobody since 1951 has averaged 24 points in 29 minutes, that few of minutes. And you're telling me that's not Rookie of the Year kind of arc?
No, not with 15 games. Absolutely not.
And here's what kills me about this. I'm watching the game last night, and it is driving me as crazy in a different way than it was driving you about your Lakers and the way they play. Because I was rooting for the Pelicans. And would you believe the Pelicans run almost no plays for Zion Williamson? It's like Coach Krzyzewski last year. I kept saying, I don't care about R.J. Barrett. Give the ball to that guy.
Okay, what do you want to run play? They give it to him. They post him up. He got quick step, and he goes to the basket. What's the what other play?
Did they ever set a weak side screen and let him slip off and flash into the lane and bounce past it to him where he's on the move? No. He goes and camps occasionally, and Zoe just lobs it into him into a congested double team. And he's supposed to just, like, try to operate against two guys, and he usually pulls it off.
Skip, but here's the thing. Skip, he's only played 15 games, and he only started practice recently. So it's not like they can run – they can do everything with him. Eventually, that's coming.
You want to talk about the biggest liability this kid has right now? His name is Brandon Ingram. And the worst thing that happened to the Pelicans in Zion Williamson's emergence was B.I. made the All-Star team. And B.I. is trying to live up to his All-Star caliber performance every night with Zion. Remember, we did this topic last week where he took what sounded like a little shot at Zion. You're the GOAT, right? Because the media's camped around Zion's locker. Yeah. I think that was a little sarcastic and a little bit resentful because the B.I. that I saw last night, did you
five
see?
5 of 23.
5 of 23?
One of nine.
He took three. 1 of 9. He took 23 shots. Zion took 16 shots. He scored 15 and Zion scored 35. Aha!
Skip, we talked about this. Okay, what's B.I. going to be when Zion gets there now?
Remember when Magic was pushing B.I.? Come out of your shell, man. You got to go. Green light it.
Right.
Show some aggression. Well, now that's all he shows because half the time I'm watching Zion because I just keep my eyes on Zion. He's just standing with his hands on his hips watching B.I. go solo and throw up some wild shot at the clock. That's what kept happening all night last night.
Well, the other skip, now last Tuesday, give B.I. credit. He had the quietest 34 in history.
Okay.
We didn't know he had played that well, and you looked up like, B.I. had 34 points. It's going to be very interesting because he needs the ball. Zion is not going to be camped out by the three-point line, Skip, so there's not a whole lot of space. Now, I would like to see these two young men stay together, but they're going to have to make a decision. B.I.'s need a contract.
Okay. And what did Zion do quietly, very impressively last night? Because you doubted him from the free throw line. He made 11 of 13. Again, LeBron had a big fourth quarter. I'm not talking about closing the game because they stayed relatively ahead the whole fourth quarter. But LeBron scored 13 in the fourth. Zion scored 12. I keep telling you, he's closing for them. The plus minus with him on the floor is extraordinarily tilted to Zion.
Yeah, he was minus. All I know is B.I. was plus 4. Zion was minus 10.
Yeah. Well, if you look at the year, they've been way better with Zion on the floor. And unfortunately, last night, he scored so quietly, like 12 of 16. He gets them by accident. He happens to be around, loose ball, rebound, slam it back.
But Skip, right? You talk about he scored 12. See, not only do we get our points, we get 13, but we make sure everybody eat. See, it ain't no good for me if I got this big old harvest, if I don't offer Jenny any. Here, Kuz, get that one. Avery Bradley, take that.
Can you imagine? They don't run many plays for him, and he scores 35. Do you know what would happen if you could figure out how to feature him more? And again, you can do it in lower minutes. Just get him a few more shots than 16 shots. It's hard, though, when Brandon Ingram, because as soon as the ball, he is Kuzma times two. If the ball touches B.I.'s hands, it is going up.
Okay, can I trade you Kyle Kuzma right now for B.I.?
No.
Okay.
No. I won't do that deal. But the point is, Zion's doing this trying to carry that weight around his neck. You know, like he's trying to lift up Brandon Ingram to the rim, too.
Well, I like B.I.'s game.
Yeah.
Now, it's going to be interesting, Skip. I mean, they're going to have to coexist. Skip, you can't just keep trading players away from New Orleans, Skip. Okay, I think everybody should be happy with the Anthony Davis move. Okay. Everybody should be happy. You got Zion, you got B.I., you got Lonzo, you got Josh.
I think they're very
I love Lonzo. And Lonzo in this offense, Lonzo looks good.
19-9-9.
Now, his three-point ball wasn't going last night.
Nope.
But everything else, it was great.
Nobody is faster with the basketball. Nobody's faster. No, and to your point, he was running through your guys.
What kind of bull jab is that?
He can fly up the floor because he's long.
But old Ja. You saw old Ja dunking.
Okay, but LeBron told you all you needed to know. Did LeBron show up Saturday night at Memphis?
Yeah.
He did not show
up. Nobody else showed up.
Okay.
We almost had a triple-dub.
They didn't take Memphis seriously. Memphis had lost, 5 in a row?
Skip. Okay. Hold on. Is it Mardi Gras still going on?
Is it?
I don't
know. Oh, Miss Triple Dub with the Mardi Gras. She showed up with the mask. You ain't tell me Miss Triple Dub was down there for Mardi Gras.
I'll tell you, he showed up. LeBron showed up for Zion.
No, he didn't.
That's what he showed up for. He showed you who he thinks the MVP is.
We already know who the MVP is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Puts a lot of into it.
It's Lent. What LeBron giving up? I tell you what, he ain't giving up them Triple Dubs.
Really?
Yeah, he's ain't giving up a lot for Lent.
I wish he'd give up those six turnovers.
Yeah, well, there you go right there.
Well,
hold on. Did Zion have six turnovers?
He had six.
Okay, then. How many assists did Zion have?
One guy's 19 and one guy's 35. Help me out.
One guy ran the team at 19. One guy ran the team at 19, Jenny.
Pretty close.
Ran the whole team.
You know, one guy's showing you he's going to lead this league in scoring. Am I right?
LeBron already did that.
Yeah, well.
Been there, done that.
I might be doing it a lot.
Hated it. No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Monday for another week of Undisputed. We'll see you then. Facts. Sports. One of one.